Good evening. Good evening, Chairperson Prado, and distinguished members of the Senate Judiciary Committee. My name is Jeff Prostowski, and I live in Providence's West End, Senator Jeb Bowers District, where I help run the Columbus Theater. I speak not only on my own behalf tonight, but bearing with me the story of my friend Taylor, a gun hobbyist and architect from Alabama. This issue to me is more than the NRA versus the Rhode Island Coalition Against Gun Violence or Everytown or Moms Man. It's more than the story of victims of gun violence being silenced by the corporate manipulators. Taylor and I come from two different worlds. We found each other one night trapped in the corner of an Eastside Christmas party where neither of us knew anyone. Where are you from? From Jersey. How about you? Alabama. Well, see, in my world, growing up with New Jersey doctor parents, guns weren't allowed in my childhood household. Not even toy guns, and no violent video games. My father always told me the two things that were not acceptable in his house were stupidity and violence. And violence was a stupid act because it only begat more violence as retribution. Guns are violent instruments, effective short-range war machines whose purpose is to mutilate flesh. My dad and mom knew this firsthand because they had treated gunshot wounds in medical school. In Taylor's world, as he explained it to me, a gun was a Christmas present, an object that epitomized the pubescent ritual of becoming a man. He and his brother were given guns at festive occasions, and family heirloom guns were passed on from grandfather to grandson. In my world, as I explained to him, if I pointed my fingers into a gun shape and pointed it at someone, I would be punished. I'd be scolded. Didn't I know about how many people died from gun violence every day? Didn't I know that wasn't a joke? In my world, if my parents knew a family had guns stored in their home, we couldn't go to their house to play as kids. But for Taylor, guns were a family treasure. His father owned 20 guns, as he told me, including an AK-47 semi-automatic rifle, pistols, shotguns, and handguns. And for fun, the boys and their dad would go in their backyard for skeet shooting and target practice. For Taylor, his family religion and family guns literally coexisted. During the week, their family business was building church pews. And on the weekends, they went duck hunting. So in my world, as you can see, guns were absent, and in his world, in Taylor's world, they were abundant. In my world, I was taught they were a sign of inner weakness. In Taylor's world, they were very much a show of strength. So how can we reconcile these opposing views? How can we come up with a sensible public policy that everyone can agree on? That on the one hand, maintains the right for a responsible gun culture like Taylor's to exist, while on the other hand, mandates a series of regulations to validate the gun safety culture, resting upon the research of public safety officials like, say, Dr. David Hemenway of Harvard School of Public Health, who are professional scientists and physicians schooled in statistics and the difference between biased industry research and public health outcomes. Well, let's see. Taylor asked me, "What is gun control anyway, man?" Taking away the right to guns, and his eyes rolled. "You know, there are bad people in this world, and you can't do anything about that. Can't blame the good law-abiding citizens." And I answered him, "Yes, but did you know, Taylor, that gun control in this state is aiming for 3 compromised regulatory objectives?" I said, "It's not to take your guns away, but rather to prohibit guns from domestic violence abusers." I paused for a response. "Okay," he said. "Well, of course, who wouldn't want that?" I said, "And you know, no concealed carry permits allowed in K-12 schools." He said, "Yeah, sure, I'm for that." And I said, "And no guns with a magazine capacity over 10. He said, "Makes a lot of sense to me." Okay, so if this consensus can happen on a one-to-one basis between a northern boy and a southern boy, working out our politics through dialogue and mutual respect, why can't it become our Rhode Island state policy? The bills before you are compromise bills. Even gun families like Taylor's can get behind them. They're widely accepted in Rhode Island, as our data shows, and they are not incendiary or one-sided or bullish. Senate Bill 187, No Guns in Schools, 223, High Capacity Magazine Ban, and 405, the Protect Rhode Island Families Act, No Guns for Domestic Violence Abusers. All we need now is our lawmakers, like the five of you, our distinguished statesmen and statespeople, to take a stand. Please look deeply into this issue, vote with your heart and mind, and bring these sensible regulatory measures out of committee. Bring them to a floor vote. It's the right thing to do. Thank you.
Thank you. Any questions or comments for this witness? Thank you. We have one witness signed up to testify.